what makes for a good metaphor? Summary: are allegory and metaphor the principal forms of human reasoning? Full article: the most famous of all allegories is the Allegory of the Cave, in which Plato compares unphilosophical people to prisoners who, having spent their entire lives in a cave, are unable to imagine the world beyond. How exactly do allegories work? An allegory, Greek, speaking about something else, is a complete and cohesive narrative, for example, a myth or George Orwell's Animal Farm, that seems to be about one thing but is actually about another. Or to put it differently, it is a story with two or more meanings, a superficial, literal meaning and a deeper, figurative one. Allegories are often described as extended metaphors, so one way of understanding the allegory is by understanding the smaller metaphor. Whereas an allegory is a complete narrative that seems to be about one thing but is actually about another, a metaphor is a sentence or short segment that equates two seemingly unrelated things. For example, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The first sentence consists of two metaphors, I am the rose of Sharon and I am the lily of the valleys, and the second sentence consists of a simile. What is the difference between a metaphor and a simile? In two words, not much. Whereas a metaphor says that something is something else, a simile says that it is like or as something else. Simile might be considered a type of metaphor, as might also analogy, which involves drawing a comparison for the purpose of explaining or clarifying an idea. For example, if I say, scientists are as blind to their own paradigms as fish to water. In fact, the second sentence from the passage that I quoted, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters, is more properly an analogy than a simple simile. Metaphor, simile, and analogy are figures of speech, which are a type of rhetorical device, also called, depending on context, literary or poetic device. Now, here's the point I'm driving at. Unlike other rhetorical devices, such as alliteration and resonance, metaphor is not merely ornamental, but a cognitively respectable way of knowing. Metaphor and its subtypes enable an abstract or unfamiliar idea to be grasped in terms of a more concrete or familiar one. What's more, the superimposition or juxtaposition of two superficially dissimilar ideas brings out any hidden or secondary correspondences between the two. This is not unlike formal deductive logic, which marries two ideas to give birth to a third, and is, in fact, a lot more common. Logicians and their students prefer to focus on deduction and induction, but it may be that the overlooked metaphor is the principal form of human reasoning. In the words of Aristotle, it is a great thing indeed to make a proper use of the poetical forms, as also of compounds and strange words. But the greatest thing by far is to be a master of metaphor. It is the one thing that cannot be learnt from others, and it is also a sign of genius, since a good metaphor implies an intuitive perception of the similarity in dissimilars. The force of a metaphor depends above all upon its freshness and originality, in some sense, upon its disruptive qualities. If a metaphor is overused, it becomes a cliché, and some metaphors are so tired that they are no longer visualized or even thought of as metaphors. For instance, in English, as opposed to, say, Spanish, we tend to talk of time in terms of space and distance, even if we are no longer aware of doing so. I won't be long, let's look at the weather for the week ahead, his drinking finally caught up with him. Metaphors such as these that are no longer visualized are called dead metaphors, and language is full of them. Indeed, an argument could be made that all language is either onomatopoeic or imitative, like cough, splash, and thud, or metaphorical. The word metaphor derives from the Greek for a carrying over, so it is itself a metaphor. Here's a metaphor, or arguably a simile, by Joseph Campbell, author of The Hero with a Thousand Faces. I have bought this wonderful machine, a computer it seems to me to be an Old Testament god, with a lot of rules and no mercy. Unlike tired or dead metaphors, fresh, vivid metaphors like this one are experienced as beautiful and pleasurable. Beautiful because they are so concise and condensed. Pleasurable because, like humor, which they often contain, they exercise our cognitive range and flexibility. And like humor, they can be a little playful, a little naughty, and a little dangerous. In the words again of Aristotle, to learn easily is naturally pleasant to all people, and words signify something, so whatever words create knowledge in us are the pleasantest. Now back to the allegory. Like the metaphor, the allegory serves to convey abstract, and at times subversive ideas in more concrete and condensed forms that then become symbolic of their ideas, making them easier to reveal or conceal or explore. When an abstract notion is given the form of a person or animate being, This is known as personification. Narcissus, for example, is a personification of vanity and self-absorption, and Icarus of hubris. The Mahabharata, the Iliad of India, although a lot longer, presents three approaches to moral problems, personified by Bhima, brute force, ego, desire, Yudhishthira, rigid moral law, deontology, and Arjuna, virtue ethics, moral indeterminacy, who, wavering between the paths of his two elder brothers, is forced to make difficult existential choices. An important advantage of the allegory is that it can be approached on more than one level, meaning that people can enjoy it on many levels, and see in it as much or as little as they are prepared to see, or indeed, whatever they wish to see, bending the allegory to the curve or twist of their minds. Life never gets easier. Fortunately, psychology is keeping up, uncovering new ways to maintain mental and physical health, and positivity and confidence, through manageable daily habits like these. How many are you ready to try? Self-tests are all about you. Are you outgoing or introverted? Are you a narcissist? Does perfectionism hold you back? Find out the answers to these questions and more with Psychology Today.